This is BBC Radio 4, and now we continue our five-part Agatha Christie mystery.
There had been two deaths. A charming old clergyman, the Reverend Babington, had dropped dead after drinking a cocktail, and a few weeks later, Sir Bartholomew Strange had suffered a similar fate while drinking a glass of port. What was so interesting was that the same seven people had been present on each occasion.
We present John Moffat as Hercule Poirot and George Cole as Mr. Satterthwaite in Agatha Christie's three-act tragedy.
We had returned to Crow's Nest, Sir Charles Cartwright's house in Devon, to pursue the investigation more closely. But I was content to remain in the background and leave it to him to play one of his favourite roles, that of the master detective.
Let's take another look at that list, Satterthwaite.
Oh, yes. Here you are.
Oh, thanks. Now, Lady Mary and Egg don't count, of course. There's no question of them being involved. So, that leaves us with Cynthia and Captain Dacres, Miss Wills, Angie Sutcliffe, and Oliver Manders. Why don't we divide them up,
It would certainly seem to be the most effective way to deal with the problem.
Let's start with Cynthia Dacres.
Well, don't look at me. The world of fashion is definitely not my cup of tea.
Well, Egg seems rather keen to take her on. She has an idea that anyone so perfectly turned out won't get impartial treatment from mere males.
What we need to establish, of course, is whether there is any possible link between the people on this list and poor old Babington.
Yes. It's occurred to me that we ought to find out if any of them spent any time in Gilling. That's where the old boy was vicar before he came to Lumeth.
Well, hardly sounds the kind of place for Captain Dacres. Too far from Newmarket.
I rather thought I might tackle him myself. I know some of his racing cronies. I dare say I could pick up something that way.
And which of you is to talk to Miss Sutcliffe?
Well, Sir Charles knows her pretty well.
That's precisely why I'd rather someone else took her on. For one thing, I should be accused of not putting my back into the job.
And because she is an old friend, you feel the natural delicacy.
Yeah.
It is perfectly understandable. Why not leave her to the good Mr. Satterthwaite?
Right. Now, what about Oliver Manders? I know he only turned up on the night of Tolly's death as the result of some sort of accident, but we ought to take a look at him, and he certainly knew Babington.
Mr. Satterthwaite will look after Mr. Manders also. But you have missed out a name.
Huh?
Miss Muriel Wills, who writes plays under the name of, what does she call herself?
Anthony Astor.
Well, if Satterthwaite's going to deal with Angie and Manders, I'd better take a look at her. So, if we're all agreed, I'll go and tell Egg what we've decided. And then we better set off back to London.
Miss Lytton Gore, I personally found it impossible to refer to such an attractive and lively young lady as Egg, had decided that the best way to approach Mrs. Dacres would be to pretend that she had come into an unexpected inheritance.
You see, I've never been able to afford any really good clothes before, and I remembered how simply marvellous you looked at that dinner party at Crow's Nest, and I thought, that's the person to advise me on what to wear.
My dear, how utterly charming of you. I simply adore dressing a young girl. And you've got so much personality. You mustn't have anything at all ordinary. Your clothes must be simple and penetrating and just faintly visible, if you understand me. Do you want several things?
I thought about four evening frocks and a couple of day things and a sports suit or two.
Let's start with the evening gowns. Marcel, could we have Amour en Rose?
I suppose you haven't been to Crow's Nest since then?
Oh, my dear, I simply couldn't. It was so upsetting. And anyway, I always think Cornwall too terribly arty. I simply cannot abide artists. Their bodies are always such an odd shape.
It was rather a shattering business, wasn't it? And poor Mr. Babington was such a pet.
Quite a period piece in his way.
You'd met him somewhere before, hadn't you?
That dear old dugout.
Oh, I thought I remembered him saying so. At a place called Gilling?
Marcel,
Could we have Petit Scandale now? And after that, the Blue Patou.
Wasn't it extraordinary, Sir Bartholomew, keeling over like that?
My dear, it was too penetrating for words. It's done me a world of good. All sorts of dreadful women come and order frocks from me, on the off chance I might have murdered him. I've rather played up to that. Now, just take a look at this positively provocative frill. Doesn't it make the whole thing quite adorable?
Fortunately, at that moment, a wealthy and quite monumental American lady arrived, and Mrs. Dacres rushed off to welcome her. Miss Littlegore made an unobtrusive exit and paced quietly about Bruton Street, waiting until 1 o'clock, when she put the second part of her plan into operation.
Excuse me, but may I speak to you a minute?
Yes, madam, of course.
You're one of the mannequins at Ambrosine's, aren't you? I noticed you this morning. I hope you won't be frightfully offended, but I'm writing an article about working in the fashion business. And I wonder whether you'd like to have lunch with me at the Barclay or somewhere and tell me all about it.
Oh, yes, of course, madam. Oh, but I mustn't be too long. We're only allowed an hour for lunch.
Well, I think that just about covers everything I wanted to ask you. You really have been very helpful. I must admit, I'm rather new to this kind of work. I'm frightfully badly off at the moment, and I'm counting on these journalism jobs to keep the wolf from the door.
But from the way you were behaving in the showroom, I thought you were...
Oh, no, that was just play acting. I haven't got a bean. I expect Mrs. Dacres would be simply furious if she knew.
Oh, I should say she would.
I got the impression she could be a bit of a tartar.
Well, none of us like her, and that's a fact. She's clever, but she's hard as nails.
I suppose she makes lots of money.
Well, it's not for me to tell tales.
Oh, of course not.
But if you ask me, the firm's not far off Queer Street. It's my belief that Mrs. Dacres has been borrowing heavily just to keep going, in the hopes that the business will brighten up, and that she's got in really deep. Honestly, she looks terrible sometimes. Though she's still got an eye for the young men.
Really?
There's been a lot of talk amongst the girls of a fella. Very rich, but a bit soft, if you know what I mean. Apparently, Madam has been running him for all he was worth. He might have been able to put things right, but his specialist, or whatever he was, ordered him on a sea voyage. Said he couldn't answer for the consequences if he didn't. They said the specialist was that same chap that got murdered in Yorkshire. Madam was there when it happened, and the girls were having such a laugh, saying she'd done him in because he sent her young man away. Of course, it was just fun.
Oh, naturally. I quite understand. But Mrs. Dacres really is my idea of a murderess. So hard and remorseless.
Oh, and she's got such a wicked temper. When she lets go, there's not one of us dares go near her. And they say her husband's scared stiff of her, no wonder.
Tell me, have you ever heard her speak of anyone called Babington? Or a place in Kent, Gilling?
No, I don't remember anything like that. But just look at the time, I must be off.
Oh,
yeah, thanks for the lunch. Oh, and I shall look out for your article.
Although it had been agreed that Sir Charles should talk to Mrs. Dacre's husband, Miss Littlegore's curiosity was by now thoroughly aroused, and she went off to the Dacres' flat in St. John's Wood, where she had the good fortune to encounter the gallant captain getting out of a taxi.
Oh, Miss Littlegore! What an unexpected pleasure.
Oh.
I just got back from Newbury. Cynthia won't be home for ages. We go round to the 72 Club and have a livener.
How easy the investigation is when one is young and pretty. One does not even have to give an explanation of why one is there.
Something rather amusing about a doctor being poisoned, isn't there? Wrong way about. A doctor's a chap who poisons other people.
It's odd, isn't it, that whenever we meet, it's at a death.
It's damn disturbing. Makes you feel a bit groovy. Fellas popping off all over the place. Makes you wonder if it mightn't be your turn next.
You knew Mr. Babington before, didn't you? At Gilling?
Never heard of the place. Never clapped eyes on the Padre before. Funny thing, him popping off just the same way that Strange did.
Perhaps he was murdered too.
No, no. Nobody murders parsons. Doctors are different.
Yes, I suppose they are.
Interfering devils. Get a fellow shut up. Put him in hell. Shut him up and keep the stuff from him.
You mean that Sir Bartholomew Strange...
Sir Bartholomew Humbug. I'd like to know what goes on in that sanatorium of his. They put you in there. You can't get out. And they say you've gone in there of your own free will just because they've grabbed you when you've got the horror of that. I'm all to pieces, all to pieces. Joel!
Yes, Colonel?
Will you have another one, my dear?
Not for me, thanks.
Well, yeah, another pink gin, Joel. You better make it a double.
Yes, Colonel.
Yeah. Lost my nerve for a moment there. Just as well Cynthia wasn't here. I don't want to give the impression I was the one bumped Strange off. But someone must have done it, though. And it must have been one of us at that party. Which of us? That's the question.
Perhaps you know which.
Well, why should I know? I'll tell you one thing. I wasn't going to take that damned cure of his, no matter how Cynthia went on at me. They were both up to something. But they couldn't fool me.
Tell me, do you know anything about a Mrs. de Rushbridger, who's a patient at the sanatorium?
Rushbridger. Well, I have an idea that Strange said something about her, but... what was it? Trouble is the old memory. It's beginning to go. I can't get a grip on things. I've got enemies. I've got enemies, you know. All over the place.
Enemies?
You know, spying on me. All the time. There's probably someone in here now. And what was that woman? What was that woman doing in my room at Strange's place?
What woman?
That rabbit-faced woman who writes plays.
Muriel Wills.
Yeah. You are, Colonel?
Huh? Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Oh, that's better. Yeah. Yes, it was the morning after Strange died. I just come up from breakfast. I saw her come out of my room and go through the baize door at the end of the landing. Why did she want to go messing about in my room? Or do you think it's true what Cynthia says?
What does she say?
Well, she that I was seeing things. Mind you, I won't deny that I do see things now and again when I get the old, but I mean, seeing a woman is different. And I did see her. It's nasty. Sort of eyes she's got. Go through you.
I must be going. Thank you so much for the drink, Captain Dacus.
No, no, thank me, my dear. I'm delighted. Absolutely delighted.
And while Miss Lytton Gore was stealing out through the smoke-laden 72 Club, the good Mr. Satterthwaite was taking tea with Angela Sutcliffe.
Tell me, Mr. Satterthwaite, am I to regard you as a friend or as a sleuth? Have you come here for the sake of my beautiful eyes, as the French say so charmingly? Or are you here just to pump me about the murder?
Can you doubt that the first alternative is the right one?
I can and do. The only thing I can't make up my mind about is whether it is an insult or a compliment to be considered a potential murderess. On the whole, I think it's a compliment. Tell me one thing. Is there anything in what that girl said?
What girl? And what did she say?
Oh, don't be so tiresome. The Lytton Gore girl, the one who's so infatuated with Charles. She thinks that nice old clergyman was murdered, too.
What do you think?
Well, it certainly happened in just the same way, and she's an intelligent girl. Is Charles serious?
I expect your views on that subject are likely to be more valuable than mine.
How appallingly discreet you are. I know Charles pretty well. He seems to me to display all the signs of wanting to settle down. How dull men are when they start to do that.
I've often wondered why Sir Charles has never married.
My dear, he never showed any signs of wanting to. He and I were... Well, It was very pleasant while it lasted, and we're still the best of friends. I suppose that's why the Lytton Gore child gives me such ferocious looks. I'm not at all sure. I'm not just a little jealous of her. Why didn't Charles come and catechise me himself? Too much nice feeling, I suppose. Or does he think me guilty? Do you think I'm a murderess, Mr. Satterthwaite?
There would seem to me to be a certain lack of motive.
Well, I also happen to like Bartholomew Strange. And because we were friends, I'd rather like to help track down who killed him.
I suppose you didn't see or hear anything that might have a bearing on the case?
Nothing. I haven't already told the police. And that didn't amount to much.
What about the butler?
I hardly noticed him.
Any peculiar behaviour on the part of any of the guests?
No. Oh, apart from that boy. What was his name?
Oliver Manders.
He turned up very unexpectedly and seemed terribly nervous.
Did Sir Bartholomew seem surprised?
He said he thought it was a very odd business. A new method of gate crashing, he called it. Only he said, it's my wall he has crashed, not my gate.
I gather he told you something about a secret passage.
Yes. He promised to show it to me. But he never had the chance.
He didn't happen to mention a patient of his, a Mrs. de Rushbridger?
No, never heard of her.
Do you know a place called Gilling in Kent?
I don't think so. Why?
I understood you knew Mr. Babington when he was there.
Who's he?
The old clergyman who died at Crow's Nest.
Oh, that was his name. Who told you I knew him?
Someone who ought to know.
Did they think I had an affair with him or something? Clergymen do get up to some very naughty things, like that man in the barrel, but there's nothing doing with your Mr. Babington. I'd never seen him before in my life.
Sir Charles had taken it upon himself to interview Muriel Wills, or Anthony Astor, as the admirers of her moderately entertaining place called her. She lived, somewhat incongruously, with her budgerigars in Tooting, in a house cluttered with porcelain dogs, occasional tables, and Chinese brasses, from Birmingham.
Fancy you tracking me down here, Sir Charles. My mother will be so excited. She just adores the theatre, especially anything romantic. She loved that play where you were a prince at a university.
Ah.
She goes to matinees, you know, and eats chocolates.
Well, I'm very flattered. It is so encouraging to be remembered.
Miss Sutcliffe was here only the other day, and Mother's talked of nothing else since.
Angela was here?
Yes, she's putting on a play of mine. Little Dog Laughed.
Oh, of course. I was reading about it in the Stage. Rather an intriguing title.
I'm so glad you think so. It's a lot of froth and nonsense. It all revolves round Miss Sutcliffe, of course. Everyone dances to her fiddling. That's the idea.
Fascinating. I wonder if you can guess what has brought me here.
Well, I don't suppose it was just to see little me.
It was really Satterthwaite who put the idea into my head. Oh. He fancies himself as being a good judge of character.
He's very clever about people.
Mm.
Seems to be rather his hobby.
And he's strongly of the opinion that if there were anything worth noticing on the night of Sir Bartholomew's death, you would have noticed it.
Is that what he said?
Yes.
I was very interested, I must admit. You see, I've never seen a murder at close hand before, so I tried to notice everything I could.
And what exactly did you notice?
Oh, nothing that you'd call interesting, Sir Charles, just little odds and ends. Though there was one thing, something I ought to have told the police about, but I forgot.
What was that?
The butler. He had a kind of strawberry mark on his left wrist. I noticed it when he was handing me vegetables.
Where exactly was the mark? What size was it?
If you'll just stretch out your own wrist. Thank you. It was just here, about the size of a sixpence, and rather the shape of Australia.
A very precise observation.
You think I ought to write to the police and tell them?
Certainly. It might be of the greatest value in tracing the man. Positive marks of identification are not always that easy to come by. And some people are so indeterminate that there's nothing about them to take hold of. Old Babington, for instance. He had a curiously undefined personality.
His hands were very characteristic.
Huh?
What I would call scholar's hands. A little crippled with arthritis, but very refined fingers and beautiful nails.
What an observer you are. But, of course, you knew him before.
No, not me. That was the first time I met him.
But I'm sure he said he'd known you at Chilling.
No. You must have been mixing me up with somebody else, or he was.
Ah. Did it ever occur to you he might have been murdered too?
I know that you and Miss Lytton Gore think so.
And what do you think?
It doesn't seem likely.
So, there's nothing else you can tell me about any of the guests?
No.
Nothing about Mrs. Dacres or Captain Dacres or Oliver Manders?
Nothing.
Well, poor Satterthwaite will be most disappointed.
I am so sorry.
Well, don't forget to tell the police about that thing with Bob.
The mark on the butler's right wrist. Yeah. No, I won't forget.
Well, goodbye then.
Goodbye.
Oh, just a minute. Did you say right wrist? You said left just now.
Did I?
Hmm.
How silly of me. Would you mind handing me that brass plate as though it was a vegetable dish? Left side.
Cabbage, madame?
Thank you, Sir Charles. I'm quite sure now. It was the left wrist, as I said the first time. Stupid of me.
Well, left and right can be terribly puzzling sometimes.
Yes. Memory works in a curious way. Sometimes you see things you never saw in the first place.
The following day, Mr. Satterthwaite took a taxi into the city and made his way to the offices of Spear and Ross, where he found Oliver Manders, who seemed curiously ill at ease.
Did you see the news in the papers this morning?
What news?
Of the post-mortem on Babington.
I heard they were digging the old boy up. What was the verdict?
Poisoned. By nicotine.
Well, at least Egg will be satisfied. She always insisted it was murder.
You don't seem surprised.
Well, frankly, I'm not that much interested. A very dreary business, murder.
You may not be interested, my boy, but I understand the police are beginning to take quite an interest in you.
What exactly do you mean by that?
That rather inartistic accident you contrived outside Melford Abbey. They don't think much of it.
Don't they?
But perhaps you have a perfectly satisfactory explanation.
I've got an explanation. How satisfactory it is, I don't know.
Will you let me be the judge of that?
The whole thing was Sir Bartholomew's idea.
What?
I got a letter from him suggesting that I should fake an accident outside the house and claim his hospitality.
How perfectly extraordinary.
He said he couldn't put his reasons in writing, but he would explain them at the first opportunity.
And did he?
No, he didn't. I got there shortly before dinner. I didn't have the chance to see him alone, and by the end of dinner, he was dead.
You have his letter?
It seems to have disappeared. I can't find it anywhere.
Hardly very helpful. Did you say anything to the police?
No. It all seemed too fantastical.
And yet you obeyed Sir Bartholomew's summons?
Yes, I was curious. It all seemed refreshingly out of the way.
Is there anything else?
What do you mean, anything else?
I mean, is there anything that might tell against you?
I suppose you'll hear about it sooner or later. That damned woman isn't likely to hold her tongue.
What damned woman?
That playwright woman. It was the morning after the murder. She asked for my card, and as I took one out of my pocketbook, something fell to the floor. She picked it up and handed it to me.
What was it?
A cutting from a medical journal about nicotine poisoning. I'd never seen it before in my life.
How very awkward.
I suppose she told the police?
Not as far as I know. I fancy she's a woman who likes to keep things to herself. Quite a dangerous woman in her way.
She knows something. I'll swear she knows something.
What do you think of Oliver's story, Monsieur Poirot?
It strikes me as most peculiar and highly uncharacteristic of the late Sir Bartholomew.
You mean he's lying?
There are so many kinds of lies.
But it does chime in with what Lady Mary said about Tolly cooking up some kind of surprise.
Oh, I think he was probably pulling Mummy's leg. Still, we're not getting anywhere. Failure all along the line. What do we do now, Monsieur Poirot?
We think.
What's the good of that?
With the exercise of the little grey cells...
Oh, I'm sick of hearing you going on about your little grey cells. Can't you do anything?
Very well, mademoiselle. It shall be as you wish. I will give a party. The sherry party. That is fashionable, is it not?
A sherry party?
And to it I will ask Mrs. Cynthia Dacres and Captain Dacres, Miss Sutcliffe, Miss Wills, Mr. Manders, and your charming mother, mademoiselle. And to do it in style, I will reserve an apartment at the Ritz.
Wonderful! And something will happen at the party, won't it? Just like in detective stories. All the people will be there, and you will announce who did it.
Quite the spider's parlour, Monsieur Poirot. And all your poor little flies have walked in.
All gathered together again, eh? Third time lucky, perhaps.
Oh, no, Captain. This is a friendly little party. Do not let us talk of murder. These things, they spoil the palate. Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Not as soon as all that, I hope.
Oh, malheur, I have mentioned death. Forgive me, Mrs. Dacres. And allow me to congratulate you on a very charming gown. Your health, madame.
Your health, Lady Mary.
Here's to you, Egg.
Cheerio.
Cheers.
Ah, it is an excellent drink, the sherry. I prefer it to the cocktail, and 1,000 times to the whiskey. By drinking the whiskey, you ruin the palate. To appreciate the delicate wines of France...
Charles! What's the matter? Oh, God! Not another one.
Has Sir Charles been poisoned too? It's quite unbelievable!
The poor devil's dead!
My friends, do not...
You fool! Pretending to be God and know all about everything, and you let this happen! Another murder, Monsieur Poirot, and under your very nose. If you'd let the whole thing alone, this would never have happened. It's you who's murdered Charles. You! You!
In part 4 of Agatha Christie's three-act tragedy, Hercule Poirot was played by John Moffat, Mr. Satterthwaite by George Cole, Sir Charles Cartwright, Michael Cochrane, Egg Litton Gore, Beth Chalmers, Muriel Wills, Elizabeth Proud, Cynthia Dacres, Paula Jacobs, Captain Dacres, Nigel Anthony, Angela Sutcliffe, Gemma Churchill, Oliver Manders, Carl Prekop, Doris the Model, Angela Sims. Three-act tragedy is dramatized for radio by Michael Bakewell and directed by Enid Williams.
And you can hear the last part of our three-act tragedy next Monday morning at the same time.